When your life depends on it, when everything is on the line, you've got to get real about addiction treatment. Only Caron offers 65 years of medical expertise in evidence-based treatment with real, proven results. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Caron patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. So if you're ready for something real, visit caron.org/real today. Caron. Real results. Real care. Real about recovery.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease to Chrysler Capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7/3/23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/22. Jeep is a registered trademark.
What up? It's doing up? Terrific.
Like our bro Mario from Mario Bros would say,
here we go. What?
I don't know. Welcome to Benzinga Cannabis Insider. We're here to have fun, help you make money, inform you.
No, drop a one in the chat if you want to see that energy from Javier every single episode. Mario Bros channeling it to start us off. I love it.
Next week I'll do Mickey Mouse.
You're almost Italian. That was actually pretty close to Mickey Mouse. So you're not wrong there, man. How are you?
Molto bene.
Oh, molto bene. Pura vida. See, I'll jump on the Latin American train as well.
Let's go into the news.
News. Cannabis news, y'all. Drop us a headline, Javi. What's going on in your space?
No time to waste. Direct from Latin America, Caron Life Sciences just opened another medical cannabis clinic in Colombia. Serenia Clinics, I think it's their fourth cannabis clinic down there. I visited one of their clinics down there a few months ago in Bogota. Their flagship clinic. And I was very impressed. I got to say, I wasn't bullish on Caron for a while, but I've seen them pivot their model, visited their facility.
What were you not bullish about before?
I didn't love the model, at first, generally just like Colombia and, companies operating in Colombia really struggled there for a while in terms of driving revenue.
Yeah. A lot of bad shorting reports for companies in that area.
Yeah. And I had some personal, reservations in relation to the stock, which I brought up with the CEO, Alvaro Torres, and he was very receptive. And he was like, dude, thank you for the feedback. We'll improve. And when I came back a year later, they had improved a bunch. And when I came back this year, I was like, wow, this is fantastic progress.
So Alvaro is amazing. He's such a good leader for that company. And I mean, Javier, what do you think about them and the opportunity that they have with the Mexican market?
Oh, it's huge as well. I think it's huge. Just by the way, we're talking about Caron Life Sciences Corporation. That is KHRNF on the OTC. Once again, KHRNF on the OTC. Mexican opportunity seems pretty decent. Their international opportunity is cool as well. They're doing some inroads into the U.S. So overall, very, very interesting stuff to keep an eye on. What do you have, Mr. Elliot Lane?
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I had to unmute myself. So I'm looking over at Canopy. I'm feeling a little CGC action today, and this is not the biggest story that I think I'll bring up or we will bring up. We're probably getting to our big MSO news of the day, but I want to give a shout out to CGC. They are up right now in their stock. I believe they're up around 6% on the news that their BioSteel drink will be introduced to 15,000 new stores. 15,000 new stores.
That is super cool. And you know what? There's a lot of haters out there just talking about Tilray's, T-L-R-Y, Tilray's strategy, where they are not only doing cannabis, but also investing into non-cannabis companies. We discussed this with their CEO, Erwin Simon, a couple of weeks ago. You can find the full interview on our YouTube channel,
Benzinga. Amazing interview, and I can say that because I was not a part of it.
Super cool. A lot of people question, you know, their decision to get involved in non-cannabis stuff. I think it's very smart, right? Why do you have to limit your revenue source to just one, right? As long as they do cannabis, you know, great.
Y'all think of the future of distribution. You know, alcohol has a massive distribution footprint in the U.S. You know, think of what Sundial's doing with Alcanna. They're massively expanding their distribution potential with the acquisition of these alcohol companies. And, you know, whether that plays into THC or not, most likely beverages first and then perhaps other products, we'll see. But that is something to keep an eye on in terms of how these breweries could affect the bottom line of Tilray.
I mixed a little bit. I started talking about Tilray. We're talking about Canopy. They both have this strategy, by the way.
Oh, right? I see what you're saying.
But by the way, if you wonder between Tilray and Canopy Growth, which one of these two stocks could slam shorts harder? We did a chart war today on benzinga.com/cannabis, and you can check out.
Should we have a drum roll? Oh, wait, you're not going to announce it. Okay, never mind. We don't need a drum roll.
Check out benzinga.com/cannabis
for that.
No spoilers here.
I was going to give you my own personal drum roll for you, Javier. So I think, you know, we probably have a couple more news items or time for a couple more news items here. IIPR, $300 million senior secured note offering due in 2027. Going to be going to the same thing that they always do with money, which is specialized real estate assets. So nothing new there, but they're probably getting ready for another round of acquisitions with this. So keep an eye on them. They have a massive amount of properties. It's insanity.
What about Verano talking about money?
That's where we're going next, man. How MSO acquiring MSO, right? This is probably the storyline of the day. Everybody's expecting 2022 to be another massive year of M&A, if not a bigger year for M&A. You know, Javier actually questioned, side note, same as 2021 or bigger or better, worse than 2021? What do you think 2022 has got for us?
I mean, I hope better. The industry needs to continue to grow. So I'd expect nothing
but validation too. Yeah, man. I mean, this is huge, I think. I think Verano gets a presence in New York City. I think they, if I'm not mistaken, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, Javi, one new cultivation site, four new active dispensaries, four new dispensaries that are planned to open up in the New York market, plus some distribution that includes like the Met Stadium, you know, that surrounding area, which is highly touristic. They get, I believe, eight new dispensaries in Minnesota, and they're one of two licensees in that state. They get New Mexico assets, which is pretty highly coveted right now. I mean, massive, massive acquisition for them. And it was all stock. Any hesitations there, Javi? For me, there are none. But I mean,
no. Very, very, very cool transaction. VRNOF on the OTC for those looking to trade. This is in no way a recommendation, but another great company to follow. I do like a couple more quick ones, and we should be ready for our guest. One is a little bit of a bad news item out of our friends at High Times. They lost yet another CEO, Peter Hovar, resigned due to personal reasons. And a very cool report out of Deloitte Canada looked into the cannabis sector in the country, highlighting that it has pulled in $15 billion in taxes and thousands of jobs, but still lacks diversity. You can find details on the report on benzinga.com/cannabis.
Javier, and this is a separate question, but you saying the word reports gives me PTSD a little bit. Recently there's been study after study after study of cannabis, right? So you're looking at driving while intoxicated with cannabis studies. You're looking at smoking cannabis when you're pregnant studies. You're looking at more driving while you're intoxicated with cannabis studies. You're looking at a lot of studies that are coming out with decently obvious results, right? Yes. Don't be intoxicated while driving would be a thought there going into this.
Yeah.
So
but it's important to study it, right?
Yeah.
Anecdotal evidence and real studies, scientific, with control groups, double blind, whatever it is, depending on the nature of the study and the methodology.
Do you think for specifically, we'll say specifically for the driving while intoxicated study, you don't think that that is, you think that that needed to be studied?
I think it did. I think it did, especially because it's not so obvious. The results are not always so obvious. And also because, when we think about driving while intoxicated on cannabis, we think about a recreational user just being stoned out of their mind driving. But the fact remains that a lot of people use cannabis medicinally, and many times they use products that, even though they might have traces of THC, they are not strong enough to be.
Well, even as a performance enhancer, I think that's my ultimate point, is that gray area that seems to have been missed. But, just a thought there. I know there's a lot of reports coming out, so I just thought it was worth touching on and getting your thoughts on it, though. The wonderful Javier Jase. But
Elliot, tell us, who is our guest today?
We have joining us the head honcho. It is Ryan from Possibit. I don't have your last name in front of me. That's so embarrassing.
Ryan Hamlin.
Where are you?
Ryan Hamlin. I can bring him up.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. There he is. How's it going? Maybe.
I believe so.
All right. Well, he's coming shortly, but Possibit, super cool company that I'm super interested in the tech side of this. So if you all are catching up on the cannabis industry in any way, shape, or form, tech has taken a large step forward in cannabis. You're seeing tech every which way, from POS to e-commerce and distribution models. It's growing and it's progressing in ways that are far quicker than I think any other industry has. But of course, other industries paved the way to an extent. Javier, do you have any insights, anything you want to touch on in regards to that while we're getting Ryan on?
I mean, honestly, what you're saying is pretty much spot on, right? Technology is super important to the cannabis industry, even though one would think it's all about growing cannabis again and selling weed and transporting it, right? There's an increasing need for tech on things from whatever, like point of sales, which is of course what we'll be discussing today, to C2Cell tracking, management systems, inventory management, personnel management, HR software. And a lot of the mainstream solutions that are out there don't really work very well within the cannabis industry, right?
That's fair. Well, there's a lot more compliance and regulation and hurdles that companies have to jump through, that tech companies have to make them available to jump through. So Possibit will be doing that. While we're waiting on him, I think you had a very
cool... Here's Ryan.
Ryan.
Sorry, guys. It's always your internet connection right before you go on. It's beautiful.
All good, man. I've been struggling with internet for like a week and a half and finally got it figured out. So you got it figured out in 10 seconds. You're beating me. how are you, man?
I'm good. Other than that, this has happened one other time. It just seems like internet works great all the time. And then as soon as you get on a live broadcast, it's like the gremlins of the internet turn you off or something. I don't know.
Live and alive, and we can hear you perfectly. So awesome. Ryan, tell us a little bit about you, Possibit, what you do.
All right. Well, first thing is, Javier, I got to correct you. It's Possibit, not Possibit.
Ooh.
Possibit.
So here's why. Possibit, there's all kinds of things. Pause a bit. See, come on.
I like it.
And it's also point of sale. It's very easy to remember, man.
Perfect. Never, ever again will I forget.
All right. No, so Possibit. My background, I've been in the software industry for 30 years, as you can tell. I was an executive at Microsoft for about 16 years, ran a bunch of different things at the company, and then started my first startup. It supported small businesses, online subscriptions, sold that business off, and then started Possibit in 2015. So we've been around 6 years now. The company was formed at the time when I live in Seattle. Washington was the second state to legalize, as you guys know. So we've been busy up here since 2012 when it legalized, and 2014 when the first stores opened. And the problem, as you know, is cash only. So we decided if we could solve this cash only problem, it'd be a pretty interesting solution. So our very first version of Posabit was a crypto-based payment solution. We've come a long ways since then. We have now a full point of sale that competes, you know, with the Leaf Logics and Green Bits and Trees of the world. We also have a full payment system that provides B2C ACH payments. It provides true debit payments, as well as, you know, we've heard a lot about the point of banking. We're kind of moving away from that. But so we have a full payments business. We processed this last year, we processed close to 400 million through our payments business. We've got about 300 plus stores across the United States using our software. And then we're traded publicly on the OTC as POSAF, and then on the CSE as PBIT. And we made that decision to trade back in 2019. So we've been public now for a couple of years. And this year we came out with our kind of preliminary earnings report for 2021. And we exceeded our guidance. We had given guidance to the street of 19 to 20 and a half million in revenue and exceeded that guidance. And we also grew our quarter over quarter revenues between Q3 and Q4. So we've doubled revenue pretty much every year since we've been in existence. Last year, we did about 8 million. So not too bad to grow over 20 million this last year. And we gave guidance to the street of 36 to 39 million in this coming year. So wow. Company's going through pretty heavy growth. And, you know, if you look at our stock price, obviously, and you start looking at multiples, obviously every CEO would say you're undervalued, but, you know, we're trading at a pretty low multiple right now of sales. You know, if you look at our market cap, so that at a high level is kind of our story, but what so else?
You have an all-encompassing product, right? It's possibly unlimited. So, you know, that covers a lot of what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, looking at that in this growth that you're talking about this year, are you planning on doing that by adding more clients? Are you planning on creating a higher price point for this unlimited product? Yep. I'm curious how you achieve, you know, growth year over year, because obviously you're doing it. I'm just curious as the process.
Yeah, a lot of it, I mean, it's a combination of same store growth. So obviously, you know, with the 300 plus stores we have today, we continue to see more and more sales. So when we come in with our debit solution, we might represent maybe 20 or 25% of their sales. It's still 75% cash. As the customer gets used to paying with their debit card, the merchant sees that their average ticket is going up. In most cases, it's almost double what a cash transaction is. It's obviously a better experience for the customer to pay with plastic, and it's a much safer environment. So over time, we see same store growth go from 25% up to, we've got some stores in Colorado and California that are doing over 65% of their sales through our plastic versus cash, which is awesome. We all know cash, you know, it comes with all kinds of difficulties. Even here in the state of Washington, there's been, you know, a ton of robberies, unfortunately, almost daily up here. It's just getting ridiculous. So we can provide a solution that's a much safer solution. And as the owners and customers appreciate that, you get some natural same store growth. The other is just overall cannabis growth. As you guys know the numbers well, I mean, roughly 85, I think we're pushing close to 9,000 dispensaries down in the U.S. You know, we're only in 300. So the huge market opportunity for us to grow the business. We're in 15 states today. We'll be, you know, adding probably at least six or seven more states over the course of the next 9 to 12 months. So there's a lot of growth there. And the other thing is, you know, we position ourselves as wanting to provide an integrated solution for not just POS and payments, but, you know, you can think of us doing invoicing and payroll. You know, we'll talk probably about our cash advance program. We have a really good self-serve kiosk that allows people, if they order online, to come in the store, actually pay for it at the kiosk and not even have to interact with a bud tender. Or if you know, what you want, you can walk right up to our kiosk and just order it and pay for it. And then literally wait for your name to be called, you know, like going to McDonald's and ordering a cheeseburger, and they just call you up front when it's ready.
That's awesome. So quick follow-up though, you mentioned the states that you're in. Are there hurdles for your company when looking at a new state market in this industry?
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, every state is different. And, you know, we always have to look at, you know, the difference between the medical and recreational, if they support both as far as limits. Obviously, taxation is a big part of every state having different tax rules. And then as we go in, we are a registered money services business with FinCEN. And so we have to abide by all the FinCEN regulatory requirements. And so compliance is a huge part of, you know, why we've been able to be successful. And frankly, not, you know, there's a lot of people in this industry that have done some pretty shady things when it comes to processing. And we know those stories. And, you know, from day one, we've always said we will do everything 100% compliant. So one of the first things we do when we go into a state is we actually meet with the cannabis, you know, cannabis and liquor control board or whoever's running it in that particular state to totally understand what the requirements are. And then we also demo all of our solutions and explain to them, hey, here's why it's compliant. Here's how we're doing this. If you want to talk to any other states that we've done business in, you know, here's our contacts. We have really great referrals in, you know, each of the states that we work with, because we try to really establish relationships at that highest level in the cannabis related kind of sector when it comes to government and public positions.
And you're talking a lot about credit cards and debit cards and plastic and compliance, right? Do you think you can maybe explain to our viewership a little bit about what's going on with Visa? You know, Visa cracking down on cashless ATMs. What is a cashless ATM? How does it work? How is Possibit offering a different solution there?
You bet. So the first thing, credit, we absolutely don't do credit. And that's definitely a no-no. And everyone in the industry, you know, does not, you know, or should not be doing credit. There are people out there that miscategorize it. But no, absolutely, we don't do credit. On the, you know, the cashless ATM, it's been one of these things that's been around in the industry for 10 plus years. And it's the whole idea of a cashless ATM is it's literally an ATM that instead of spit it out in 20s, it's just crediting for your transaction. So you walk up and let's say you're going to buy 3 pre-rolls and it's $35. You would run it as if you were pulling, let's say, $40 out of the ATM. And instead of pulling $40 out of the ATM and giving the bud tender $40, you're in essence running that transaction at the point at which you're paying for your 3 pre-rolls. And instead of giving 20 or 40 bucks, the bud tender is going to basically pay you back the change as if you gave them 40 bucks. So they'll pay you, you'll get your 3 pre-rolls and you'll get $5 back. It's a very common scenario. They've been doing this in casinos. The adult industry has done this for years and years. It's one of those weird kind of, you know, this industry as a whole is gray. We all know that. And, you know, there was this Visa memo that came out and there's conspiracy theories about, is that memo even real? And it's kind of been, it's taken its own life. It's been kind of funny as we've talked about it in the industry, but, you know, certainly we take everything serious. And so when we saw that, we kind of dug into it to make sure that everything we're doing, we're not putting our merchants in jeopardy. And to be honest, you know, that's always been what we've been doing for the last 6 years. And this industry pivots so much, and you know, we, you know, safe banking, it's on, it's off, and now it's back on, and it's like everything is kind of moving, and a lot of these gray areas with point of banking and with debit have been something that if you do it the proper way and you are compliant and you're forthright and you're not and you're transparent with what you're doing, you're not going to get sideways. I mean, where people get sideways is they lie about what the, you know, MCC code is, and they you know, they have a EIN number for their business that's a clothing shop and it's a cannabis shop. Like, it's just silly stuff, right? That we don't even touch those, right? I mean, if you come to us and you try to work with us, you know, you have to give us your marijuana license. We do background checks on all your, if you've had any violations. We check your address to make sure it lines up with your cannabis store. All of that information is passed on to our banks. I mean, it's full transparency. So that is kind of the key, I think, in our success, is that we haven't played games. We've really just tried to, you know, work within the boundaries that this industry allows you to. And, you know, it is, and like I said, over and over, it's gray, but, you know, I think great innovation happens in industries sometimes that have a lot of gray, right? So I guess that's what I'll say on that.
So I'm very curious here, right? You constantly mention how this company, there's how this industry, there's a lot of gray, and I agree, right? And you know, what's the difference between a compliant loophole and a non-compliant loophole? Because there seems it seems to be a very nuanced, subtle difference, right? How is what Possibit does legal and compliant, but a cashless ATM isn't, even though it's there, not just in cannabis stores, but as you mentioned, in, say, strip clubs?
Yeah, I think it's one of these weird things to say. It's kind of in the eyes of the beholder. It's whoever is interpreting what they read, you know, and I think we all like read with our own eyes and feel like that it's part of, we take our perspective, right? And so if you come at it from a strong regulatory, cannabis is illegal, you know, never can you do this, then you're going to read that with one perspective. If you come at it with, hey, we're trying to provide a set of services, we're working within the rules as we understand them, the card brand rules and the banking rules, and we're fully transparent with the bank on everything we're doing, then that's acceptable, right? And it's a really fine line between those two. And I think that's the challenge here. And, the good news is, you know, I truly do believe safe banking is on the near horizon. I mean, it has gone back and forth, but I think with the reintroduction this last weekend, I do think there is a good chance that we're going to see some sort of banking changes here in the next 6 months, 6 to 9 months. And that's awesome, because I think then all this garbage goes away, right? Then it's we process, and you know, the gray gets a little less gray.
Awesome, Ryan. I have one more topic I want to touch on before we run out of time here.
But
so, you know, seeing is how you process payments for companies. You obviously process, I would imagine, distribution, e-commerce, curbside. Obviously, you're looking at kiosk and budtender processing payments as well. I'd love to understand, you know, where you see us going right now, or where the trends are taking us. Is it delivery? Is it, you know, and this is such a broad question that probably has a different answer for each market. So I'm putting you on the spot here and not really giving you a fair shake, but we got about 3 minutes. So however you want to answer that.
Yeah, all good. You know, and you're right. So the first thing I'll say is each state's different. My home state of Washington, there is no delivery. So there is no choice. You have to go to the store to pick it up. But where there's broader delivery, you know, availability, California, great example, obviously Colorado opened up. You're starting to see e-commerce represent a more material number. If I had to put a number to it on based on our numbers we see coming into our POS, I would say 35% of all transactions are an online order. Now that online order is either delivered or it's picked up at the store. You know, where it makes sense for those states that allow delivery, then obviously delivery. But you're still at about a 35 to probably 65% still traditional brick and mortar. I still think the traditional model is going to be important. Yes, e-com, and you know, if legalization happens and Amazon, we talk about all these things happening. The reality is a cannabis transaction still is one of those things where sometimes you just want to be educated, right? You want to talk to somebody. It's not a super simple sale, particularly for somebody who's brand new, right? So you're talking about an industry that has been illegal for a long, long time. So you're gonna have a lot of newbies coming in, and they're going to want to maybe talk to somebody. So I think your brick and mortar still is going to be pretty predominant, at least for the first couple years after legalization. Then I think e-com really starts to kick in, and you know, you get to more traditional. But look at alcohol. I mean, you don't deliver alcohol, or there's very few services mm-hmm. that do, right? You still pick it up in the store because you're going to have an ID verification. You're going to have to be careful of fraud. You don't want high chargeback risk. So all of those same things are going to apply to cannabis as they do to alcohol delivery.
Awesome. Ryan, it's been a pleasure, my friend. You obviously are talking directly to our ecosystem and our audience of investors. Awesome. So from that sense, can you leave us with maybe like one fact that they should remember about Possibit leading into this year?
Well, probably the best thing I like to say, and I've already said it, so I'll say it again. You know, we're very proud. We've doubled our revenue every single year we've been in existence. There's not too many companies that can say that after 6 years. And, you know, and it's not just small numbers. We're finally getting into some, you know, real $20 million is the real company, real numbers. And to be able to continue that kind of growth, I think we're a company to watch.
Amen. Ryan, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for being here. I hope we're going to see you in April on Miami Beach. That would be awesome, my friend, but we're not going to put you on the spot this time. But until then, Ryan, you have a blessed one. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Javi, great interview, man. Honestly, yeah. I love getting, you know, light shed onto these different sides of cannabis for us to truly understand what's happening.
But yeah, I love getting specific. By the way, quick shout outs to the chat, Manuel, Patrick, VJ, Wilson, David, Josh, Ben. Apologies, we didn't get to your questions. Actually, Josh was asking, is this an Akerna competitor? I don't think it is. No. Akerna does seed to sell tracking. Possibit does payments. And Patrick was asking about the secret to winning market share with operators. I am sure we can get to that question the next time we're with it.
Cool. I love it. Honestly, I don't have the comments in front of me this time, so I can't see them for whatever reason on the platform. But my apologies, we didn't get to those questions. But that being said, y'all, a couple things. Check out the Tommy Chong interview. Javier and I did premiered today at 3 Eastern time. And then also Thursday, we set up an amazing panel.
Oh,
Brady Cobb, Sarah Chase, Tom Zuber, 3 cannabis powerhouses are coming to talk to Javier Hasse about what the heck can we expect from federal legalization in 2022. And Javier, I was on that prep call with those panelists. This is going to be an amazing conversation.
Oh, man. It's going to be just detailed, really detailed. We'll get into what's going on with each one of the different bills, what it would mean, you know, if different bills passed, which agencies would regulate cannabis in each case, you know, what's going on in Capitol Hill. This is very much insider information direct from Capitol Hill.
These are people who are working on it. So there or be square Thursday at 4. Javier is going to lead an amazing discussion. We will be there to ideally maybe get a question or two from you guys in as well. Javier, we didn't talk about that, but we should probably do that. Outside of that, thank you all so much for tuning in. BZCannabis.com for our event to come meet us in person and tell us you love us or you hate us. Get that chance in Miami.
You better join us. It'll be a blast and you will be, I don't want to say sorry, but you'll regret.
No, they'll be, regret. There'll be immense regret and FOMO. And no YOLO. So with that, y'all, we'll leave you to it. Go watch the next one. We're a couple minutes over. Apologies. But have a great day. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease across their capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7-3-23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7-5-22. Jeep is a registered trademark.